see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the east. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
It is going by the book. Word for word, page for page. The book is the King James Bible. The answers are there. It's only when man has run out of options of trying to do it himself, since, we'll say, the flood, literally, does man ever come to God for help. They go to God to check off the requirement to worship him in their own way. Then when things start getting bad, uncomfortable, then they leave God. I'll be back. I got to take care of my personal situation or whatever it is. And then when they've run out of steps, if they take care of the situation, or whatever it may be, then they go back to God and do the lukewarm worshiping. But then when the situation gets worse, untenable, run out of options, that's when they really come to God with emotion, with desire, with need, with prayerful request of fear, etc. Only when they've run out of options. When it all would have been solved if it went to God the first time with faith. That's the way it works. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I want to get started today. I'm going to talk about, well, I don't want to get too ambitious, but the wars that's coming. I'm going to touch upon them basically today. And then some detail, World War III, Gog and Magog, the first one, Armageddon, and then the very last, at the end of the 1,000 years, Gog and Magog, the real Gog and Magog. And we'll touch upon it and see how far we get. And then I want to talk about what goes in line with it, the communist infiltration of churches that we've been talking about pretty much last week, in the last week, and this week too. Religion is how people can, how they get control of people. The education and the religion controls. Oh, I know the politics. But they use religion to influence the politics. Real simple. Don't want to mix up church and state. That's a lie. They tell you that so you don't connect dots is why they tell you that. They already mix up church and state. Under the councils, National Council of Churches, Federal Council of Churches used to be, World Council of Churches, the papacy controls your politics. Don't mix church and state. That's a laugh. That controls your Council of Foreign Relations, your Royal Institute of International Affairs, your Gorbachev Foundation, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, Bilderberg Group, United Nations, all under their own organization of representatives called the Round Table, described by Carol Quigley, Tragedy and Hope. He lets you know. The book tells you what they're doing. He says, why keep it secret? That's arrogance for you. Carol Quigley inspired Billy Bob Clinton, Rhodes Scholar, like Wesley Clark, Rhodes Scholar, like Naomi Wolf, Rhodes Scholar. All the Rhodes Scholars work for the Illuminati against you. Every single one of them do. And the Knights of Malta. I'm laying the groundwork. And the Knights of Malta. That is the enemy. It's not Muslims. It's not survivalists. It's not Christians. It's not who else they got sticking out there. They got all kinds of boogeymans out there. These can't pick and choose. Oh, I forgot the Jews. Yeah, it's not Jews either. It's all the above, yet they're all members at the highest level of these secret societies. And the secret societies are nothing more than errand boys for the Illuminati. Some of them know it. Some of them don't even know it. And Illuminati are errand boys for the what's called the hierarchy, or the Great White Brotherhood. And don't necessarily confuse when they say Great White Brotherhood as they're all white folk. That's not what they are, really. You have the Black Brotherhood, satanic. The Red Brotherhood is a communist role of a certain level. And the Great White Brotherhood is the highest level of also considered to be the hierarchy. The so-called ascended masters, they call them. But there is something else entirely that control the world's governments, education, politics, harmony, beauty, and all the arts, economics, and finance, religions, philosophy, and education. They control all those areas. Should be seven I mentioned, but didn't remind me. That's what they control with objectives, milestones, councils, committees I've just named. Inextricably, and every educational institution in the world is controlled by them through these councils, committees. Nothing happens by accident. If it's something were to go off their control because one of their leaders is powerless or does something that he shouldn't have, they're always put back on track, either by assassination, attempted assassination to warn them, or just go ahead and kill them. They can replace a human and just like that. It's not a big deal. Your presidents and generals and colonels and all this, man, they're a dime a dozen. They're nothing. Your admirals, four-star generals, man, they shine the shoes of the Illuminati. They kowtow the way they're supposed to, or they die. Get fired, put out to pasture, and replaced within a phone call. They're nothing. Your CEOs, presidents, or prime ministers of countries, pretty much the same thing. Oh, yeah. The hierarchy gets closer to control when you get to the second cousins, like Queen Elizabeth II and all those Merovingian bloodline. That's the power structure. But they, too, are only slaves to the hierarchy, another controlling group. And they have names, too. Matter of fact, there is 66 of them. They all got names. And they are coming into this realm. You will see them. I'm going to leave that alone for a while. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to get moving here and talk about the end time wars, which seems to be what everybody's all wound up about. And family, I'm telling you right now, 95%, I'd say definitely no less than 90, I'd say 95% of what you're being told in the news and by your so-called theologians is absolutely wrong. They're throwing Armageddon around like it was popcorn. Couldn't think of a better word. Like it's nothing. Like peanuts. They just throw around, we're in Armageddon. Gog and Magog, they just toss it around like it was nothing. Counting on you, the listeners, not being educated in what they really are. And it's working. Oh, the end of wars are coming. If you know the signs of the times, you can identify them. You can know who's lying and who's not. And the ones at the highest level on TV and all the CDs and books and all this, they're either Calvinist or they're Preterist or they're Illuminati or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, they're secret society members, Calvinists, oh yeah, Harvard, these places, because they've been infiltrated since 1887. All colleges, all universities, all public schools are schools of humanism on this earth, bar none. I have the evidence, I have the quotes, dates, names confirming. So that kind of puts you not the fox in the hen house. Nah, that puts the hen in the fox house. That's another problem. When you got a fox house full of foxes, and you put one hen in there, that's a problem. That's how it is here on this earth. That's the reality. The eternal is when it all changes around. And there ain't no foxes in that hen house. It's nothing but hens and chickens. It's called the thousand-year millennium. That's when Jesus Christ rules with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. We'll talk about that Bible study. We got 2 more days of Bible study tonight, tomorrow night, 8 to 9. You're free to join us on my website, 8 to 9, Bible study. My website, watchmanforjesus.com. Facebook, you guessed it, Watchman for Jesus. And my name is Thomas Gambo. And let's begin. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible, the only true word of God. Father, we thank you for bringing it to us. The Father, over all these centuries, the Father, we have it in our hands. Father, we call upon you to touch us with your Holy Spirit, to guide us today. Forgive us of our sins as we lay them down before you on the cross to be taken away. Father, for those sins we have not remembered, that you bring them to our minds and convict us of them, that we can have the opportunity to repent of them or go to those that we've wronged to make it right. And then to use that in your glory, Lord, to bring others to Jesus. Father, we know that we're approaching that satanic holiday and festival and a day of sacrifice on the 21st of September, Lord. We know that day of Mabon is coming. Mabon. Father, we pray against that sacrificial day of September 21 and 22, that, Lord, you'll close down their sacrifices and take them away. Lord, that you'll bring them to your bosom, or, Lord, that you will let some escape of their bondage for these Satanists and all the like. And why, Father, we pray this week, we pray, Father, that you'll take away this satanic sacrifices. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, Father, we do plead the precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over those that's being targeted by these Satanists and all the like. We pray the blood of Jesus around us, myself, our families, those pray and listen to their prayers, Lord. We pray upon you. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will bless us with this protection. And Father, anything holding us back, Lord, you remind us that we can repent of it. Father, we pray this blood of Jesus over our families and everything that belongs to us. And Lord, we ask you for the giant warrior angels and those to be loosed from heaven, surround us and protect us, Lord. And as your war club and weapons of war, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break down, undam, and blow up all the walls of protection around all these witches, warlocks, wizards that surround us, Satanists and all the like. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of all curses, especially now, Lord, and the hexes and vexes and spells and charms and fetishes, these psychic prayers, psychic thoughts, and all the witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, and all the mind control, both technological and, Father, the supernatural, to be broken. The jinxes and potions, the bewitchments, the death and destruction they cause. The sickness and pain to be alleviated, to be taken away. The torment, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, and the prayer chains be broken up. And everything else being sent my way, our way, those that's praying, Lord, or their family members' way, to return it and the demons to the senders and right now, back to them sevenfold, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus, Lord. Father, we do pray that these lost souls will find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we do ask you, bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts, and this to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus Christ. And this so they may be set free from the bondages of Satan. And Lord, we do pray that of our children, family members that aren't saved and born again, Lord, you spread the blood of Jesus around them to keep them away from the influences from outside of the children, to bring them back home. Protect their bodies from these drugs, from the influence of Satan, from thoughts of suicide, to take it away. Lord, it's not their fault. Lord, we... Father, we pray for these families that you'll protect them and their children from the influences from the outside. Father, especially for this September 21st is coming up and throughout the month of October. Though we need that help from those angels, Lord, because the influence has been increasing. And the more the countries turn away, we know, Father, the veil gets thinner and thinner. That's why, Father, we pray the blood of Jesus and we pray the full armor of God around us and our families. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, a lot of this is happening because we're turning away from the Word of God. And allowing it to happen and not fighting it every day. It's by prayer, by fasting, by praying the full armor of God around us, Ephesians 6. Family, it's a supernatural war that you're in. You can join as many tea parties as you want to. Heck, you can even go ahead and pass out tea if you want to. It won't make a lick of difference. You can go rah, 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 say the Pledge of Allegiance, do flip-flops, turnovers, all you want, in front of the flag, it won't make one lick of difference until you bring Jesus Christ into it. All you're doing is placating this patriotic fervor that's keeping you distracted. They want to save the Republic, right? Well, that sounds nice. You know, it's all well and fine and the patriotic fervor and all that. But family is taking you away from the truth. Who controls the government today? Lucifer does. You have no benevolent government in Europe, America, Africa, Scandinavia, Russia, China, hello, Korea. It don't make one lick of difference. They're all part of the secret societies, all part of the Illuminati, every single cotton-picking one of them, bar none. No exception. I challenge you to find one. Give it a try. From Obama to Clinton, Roosevelt, FDR, that liar, all the way back, Nixon, Reagan, every single one of them. And on the same bloodline. That's a fact. Except for Van Buren. The ones that pulled away in our history was Washington, John Adams, Woodrow, Andrew Jackson, who actually beat him by balancing the budget. That's what brought on the War of 1812. Lincoln, who was not a Freemason. You saw what happened to him. McKinley and JFK. That's it. Garfield was just a bad actor, and they had to get rid of him. Simple as that. That's it, man. All the rest of them are liars, Luciferians, and their wives as well, especially Lincoln's wife, Mary Todd. That was one evil woman you cannot even believe. Todd, Illuminati by marriage of the Astors. Oh, yeah. John Todd, 1979-1980, became born again. They murdered him, but he lectured around. You can listen to his lectures. Even Bill Cooper was a member of the Illuminati bloodline, but he also became born again. Princess Diana, they have something in common. Most of them were assassinated. God brought them home. Family, this is a supernatural war that you're fighting. Every day, every second that you wake up and you're breathing and in your dreams. There's coming a time when that will not be so. And guess when that is? That's in the 1,000-year millennium reign. Nothing of Satan will be around then. It'll only be Jesus Christ ruling with a rod of iron, but benevolent. And you'll not have these symbols, and you'll not have all these rituals and all this, these holidays and all this nonsense. Every single holiday, this is a fact, every holiday from Christmas, Easter, Columbus Day, Groundhog Day, Valentine's Day, you name it, what they use the holidays for, every single one of them is a earmark or a marker for their satanic holidays to identify when the veil between the first heaven and second heaven is the thinnest that they can break through and bring the hierarchy into this realm. Now, that's some kind of alchemy they don't want you to know about, but this is a fact. Human sacrifice, wars, murder, rape, controlled weather now generates energy through HARP. They got technology, opens up the portals at the thinnest time of this veil. And that's why they got the days of the week, the holidays, the months are even named after the occult. Every bit of it. That's where numerology comes from. That's where science comes from. Now, you can deny this if you want to. It's not a problem. I'll not back down from it because the evidence is clear. When you get involved, and I go so far and I stop myself, I don't continue, into studying the earth alchemy and the ley lines and the power structures. I've just went so far just to understand it, to how they do their rituals and all this other nonsense in order to pray against it. You'd be surprised what prayers can do. Sometimes you may not even see it answered, but have faith that it is. But somewhere it may be answered, and you'll not know it. But it won't be answered if you don't ask it. You don't lay it out there, you see? Have faith that God hears you. But there are certain times during constellation periods of the month and so forth and days that the veil is thin between the supernatural world and the physical world. Only between 2 and 3 a.m. on certain days of when you're doing the seances and all that nonsense stuff going on and sacrifice of cats and dogs and whatever else these sick people do. to get in touch with the demonic realm is between 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning. They can't do it after 3 and not before 2. There's a small window of opportunity that they have to act. The same thing goes for certain, they may have to wait if they don't make a certain anniversary and do a certain ritual, they may have to wait another 100 years. Because certain periods of time for certain ceremonies and briefings, and each one of them has a holiday. That's what the holidays are for. For God, there's no holiday. Every day is a worship of God. Every day is for Jesus Christ, not just one particular day. We've been lied to for the time we've ever been born. And that's in the scripture. I mean, that's in the Bible. You'll find every holiday is man-made. And you'll find also, this all has a basis on the occult. You see? I mean, you say, well, this sounds crazy to me, you say. Well, Colossians 2:16. If you don't go with the Bible, I don't know why you listen to me today, because this Bible, it tells you what's going to happen in your political arena. Has everything to do with what's going on in the news today. Everything to do. And they go by the Bible. They have to. They can't go outside the Bible. God requires that they tell them what they're going to do before they do it. They just do it in such a way that it fools a lot of people. TV, movies, novels, all kinds of ways it's associated with fiction. A good example is Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand was a mistress of Philip Rothschild. Mistress on the mattress, you understand this. But she also was one evil woman. She's also followed by Ron Paul, who's a Rosicrucian, believing he'll become a god like all the rest of them. They don't tell you that, do they? No, they don't. Just like Cheney never told his constituents, voters in Wisconsin, that he was a director of the CFR. He laughs about it in one of his speeches. In front of the CFR, he said, well, I never told this to my voters or something like that, and they all have a chuckle about it. Why wouldn't he tell them? Because they know it's evil. They know it's Illuminati. They keep it secret. You see? This is how it really works. You know, Skull and Bones, they always are picked to be the president. There's no elections. It's all appointment. For example, let's let Tim tell you for a second here.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee. Look, I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching Be Safe on the Campaign Trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining us. And we'll be right back.
John Kerry is a cousin of George Bush. See the game they play? Cheney is a cousin of George Bush and Kerry. Romney is a cousin, bloodline cousin, of all the above. They are such liars. So is Colin Powell. He's in the same bloodline. Did you know that? As Queen Elizabeth II. They're all in the same bloodline of every president in our history. Go look it up all you want. Deny it if you want to. But you'll live in the darkness because it's a fact. 322 is the number for Skull and Bones. What does 322 mean? Simple. It's Genesis 3:2-2, meaning man will become as God. This is their belief.
that man will become God, that God has ordained them to. Say, we shall say, fix it to where he, God, can become man. Yeah, using alchemy. This is a much deeper meaning. I don't know if I'm not going to go there right now, but it's like man creating God. He'll be perfect because he'll have the experiences of mankind, that Jesus Christ was only a prophet. Jesus Christ was just a man like we all are. That we can make God human. He loves us so much that he wants humans to turn him into human, the ultimate ego. That's why you have Victoria Osteen, now that coming out of the closet, saying that we don't do this for God, we do it for ourselves. Do good things for ourselves. She just came out of the closet. This is the real them. You can't get more exact than that. Mankind will create God here on earth. He needs our help to create God because he is spirit. He wants to be human. God brought to earth. That's where you get eugenics and stem cell research and transhumanism. Man is to become God. That's 3:22. Genesis 3:22. Now you're probably, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, Genesis 3:22 says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Well, it didn't go so well. They don't tell you the rest of it. That's what 3:22 means. Oh, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the bottom line. You notice that the interviewer, was it Rupert, I believe, he died of cancer sometime later. They killed him as a warning. They can give you cancer and you can die in 30 days. That's what it did to Aaron Russo, because he went against Rockefellers when he started reporting about how they funded the feminist movement to destroy America. That's a fact. Now, y'all can deny this if you want to, but the facts are there. So, these secret societies, are the ones that control America today. So Bush, 3:22. And you see right there, he lied. And was evasive. And that's not all. You see, he has another little secret that all the rest of them had. Goes something like this.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
So much truth to that. That's how they all have been. Every single president. It's kind of like a musical chairs. Which one will be the one? Nixon tried it. FDR is going to try it. Clinton was going to try it. Reagan was going to try it with Operation Northwoods. FEMA. The whole doggone lot of them, except for the ones that were assassinated, and they were going to blow the whistle. So now you wonder, who can you trust? It's easy. It's Jesus Christ on the supernatural realm. The supernatural. You're talking Jesus. They're leading us up to these world wars, and we're on a collision course with the seven seals, Armageddon, 7 years after. In the meantime, they got to present a chaotic situation to bring on the first seal. Your Knights of Malta. Now, you can look it up while I'm talking right now. Go ahead and do it. Just jump the gun or just sit there, whichever one you want to do. But you can look up the Knights of Malta, a list, a roster, and you can find out who Knights of Malta are. They can tell you who they are in our history. Churchill, Mandela, that murderer, Leonard Horowitz, Rick Joyner, Jerry Boykin, Leon Panetta. The list is very, very long of Knights of Malta. Even Castro was a 7-year Jesuit. Now, Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars, is based on the oath of the Jesuits. They take an oath. As a Rhodes Scholar, they take an oath. Wesley Clark was a Rhodes Scholar. Billy Bob Clinton and Naomi Wolf, they take an oath. And part of the oath is to the presence of Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed St. John the Baptist, Holy Apostles, St. Peter, St. Paul, all the saints, the sacred hosts of heaven. And it just goes on and on and on with their little, about their allegiance to the Rome, to Rome, that they now denounce and disown any allegiance as due to any heretical king, prince, or state named Protestant or liberals or obedience to their own laws, magistrates or officers. Declare that the doctrine of the Church of England and Scotland, the Calvinist, of the Calvinist, Huguenots and others, names of Protestants or Masons to be damnable. Really? And they themselves to be damned who will not forsake the same. They say, I do further declare that I will help, assist, and advise all or any of His Holiness agents in any place, that means the Jesuits, the murderous Jesuits, yeah, where I should be in Switzerland, Germany, Holland, Ireland, or America, or any other kingdom or territory, I shall come to and do utmost to extirpate the heretical Protestant or Masonic doctrines. They're against the Masons. Or to destroy all their pretended powers, legal or otherwise. Now, it starts getting really down to it on this oath that they take before they can complete their membership. I do further promise and declare that I will have no opinion or will of my own or any mental reservation whatsoever, even as a corpse or cadaver, pernity or decaver, but will unhesitantly obey each and every command that I may receive from my superiors in the militia of the Pope of Jesus Christ as a Jesuit. Jesuits have caused every war in our history. They're murderers. So they're under the control of the Jesuits. Well, what else did they say? That gets really interesting. I do further promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly and openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and Masons, as I am directed to do, to extirpate them from the face of the whole earth, that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, that I will hang, bum, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate their inextricable race, that when the same cannot do openly, I will secretly use the poisonous cup, strangulation cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to by any agents of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Father of the Society of Jesus, Jesuits. In confirmation of which I hereby dedicate my life, soul, and all corporal powers, and with the dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my blood in testimony thereof, and should I prove false or weaken in my determination, may my brethren and fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and feet, and my throat from ear to ear, my belly opened and sulfur burned therein. Woo-hoo, it's terrible. And all the punishment that can be inflicted upon me on earth and my soul shall be tortured by demons in the eternal hell forever. I would not want to be a member of that at all, would you? That I will, in voting, always vote for KFC. Is that KFC? No. Knights of Columbus. I thought that's KFC, but let's say K of C, Knights of Columbus, in preference to a Protestant, especially a Mason, that I will leave my party as so to do, that if two Catholics are on the ticket, I will satisfy myself, which is better supporter of Mother Church, and vote accordingly. I don't think they like the Freemasons. That kind of goes along with chapter 15 of the Protocols about killing the Freemasons, literally, when they have total control. You think that might be part of it, which I read yesterday? Now, that's just the oath of the Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars, and Knights of Columbus. Man, I hadn't even read this horrific, I didn't say terrific, I said horrific, oath of the Jesuits is twice as bad. Now, that's the Knights of Malta. That's who they are. So now you look at the list, like Mandela, the murderer. That's correct. He couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King, not even the same ballpark. Martin Luther King was a real Christian. Martin Luther King later, of course, like JFK, like Bobby Kennedy. Martin Luther King was a great man. He started off wrong. Kennedy started off wrong. Lincoln started off wrong. But God's got a way of bringing them around. And he did. You see. Martin Luther King tried to bring people together. He separated himself from the civil rights marchers. He marched with them. He did not, though, fall in line with the civil rights Jesse Jackson types. Boulay Society. Prince Hall affiliated with the Freemasons on the black side. White side was the Freemasons for the white folk. KKK come to mind. Mm-hmm. They even used Malcolm X, but he pulled himself away from them as well. That's why all four were assassinated in the 1960s. JFK, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, Malcolm X, because they pulled away from the Freemasons, pulled away from the world government agenda. They weren't supposed to do that. That's what happened in the 1960s. They failed again to bring a new world order. God has a way of doing that. Now, back to what I was talking about. There's your Knights of Malta, and they're against Freemasons, which is confirmed with that statement I read for you under Satan, the Prince of the Darkness, by William G. Carr, who reported what they had said in 1873, in 1901, in the lectures of Illuminati to Freemasons. Can you believe it? As secret societies? These people, what? So you Freemasons, you're targeted, man. By the very people you work for. Now, I'm going to show you, with evidence, by their own words, whose side they really on. Now, remember, Rick Joyner, Morning Star, Lucifer Ministries. That's Morning Star. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Big difference. Isaiah 14:12, King James Bible, says Lucifer. The other Bibles don't. Morning Star is Lucifer. Allah is a moon god also. That's why they have the moon and the star on their Arabic flags, because it's about the moon god, Yahweh, and the morning star is Lucifer. On the Arab flags, in green is Lucifer's color, but fear not. Because the Zionist, Israel, the Star of David, somebody better tell Hagee this, because he apparently don't know, or he's one of them, that the Star of David is not the symbol for the Jews. The Star of Satan in Israel today, British Israel, the hexagram is for witchcraft and satanic sacrifice. America, I'm sorry, but our flag, the 50 pentagrams, The Pentagon is on witchcraft. I'm sorry, but it is. It's a fact. All the flags of all the countries are under the control of Satan and the hierarchy. And that's a fact. It won't be during the millennium. And it certainly won't be during the period of the seven trumpets. So let's go back to the Knights of Malta. Recall the oath that they take. The words you heard me speak. It's documented in the Library of Congress. Now, Rick Joyner and General Boykin are Knights of Malta members. And General Boykin is a very high. He was appointed as a chancellor. Whew, that's high. That's higher than the President of the United States. And Wesley Clark, Powder Puff Clark, the one who errantly invaded the Balkans in June of 1999, is a Rhodes Scholar, like Billy Bob Clinton, like Bill Clinton, Rhodes Scholar, took the same oath. They're members of secret societies. Ron Paul is a Rosicrucian. Man, they go back hundreds and hundreds, 1,000 years. Man to become as a god. Sound familiar? They're all connected, man. Wake up. Wake up, people. Wake up. Well, let's talk about Rick Joyner now. And so, knowing that, Freemasons, knowing that, America, that they're Knights of Malta, oh, they've tried to explain it away with two or three pages of why they became Knights of Malta members. They know they're under task. Here's what they got to say. Now, my regular listeners, you've heard this before, but I think I need to introduce this to those that maybe haven't. And for those that have heard it before, now you hear it from a different context. That's how I do things. Here we go.
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I started telling friends for a long time, that no election is going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Yoke, listed directly below the chair and the president is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill, period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, good. He grabbed the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
Seems like they got a little bit of a problem among the secret societies, don't it? Somebody's not telling somebody the truth at their level. Uh-oh. They're not telling them about their allegiance they have to Knights of Malta versus they're the ones wants to have a military coup of Obama. Well, whose side are they on? It sounds like they're playing both sides, don't it? I've been telling the militia for 5 years you've been infiltrated. That the ones you trust the most are the ones going to take you down. Turn you in like they're going to do General Butler, but they failed to do that. Like they killed JFK when he was going to try it then. Reagan was getting a little high and mighty and speaking too much about the finances, but he was one of them, but they had to shut him up so made it look like his assassination attempt. Hinckley and was one of the MK Ultra boys. I think the one who got the worst part of it was Brady. They used that to have the Brady Bill. That's what's really going on today, family. So you Masons, you better watch your back, because the very people you trust, they're going to take you out. With their own words right there. I mean, checkmate. I mean, what can I say? You know the police named and hunted for the suspect in Pennsylvania shooting recently? I've been warning on my, obviously, you know, I've been doing it for 5 years. I got the studies on it. That I always do a study for whatever I'm going to say. Say, I'll do it. I've been warning the cops, you know, in my little broadcast here, that you're going to be targeted, not only by your own people who are Freemasons, but also by Europeans, by the European military that they brought inside since 1990s. They've been held back. Well, I was in Kosovo for 5 years. I became a whistleblower. I worked for the OSCE. Security manager in the eastern region of Kosovo. There's five of us. I was one of the main ones on the east coast to work with the U.S. military and work with UN and so forth and so on to help establish security for over 300 civilians that were all international to rebuild what Wesley Clark destroyed for no reason. A bunch of lies that the Clinton administration set up and Bush too. In any case, I was there up close and personal, right in the middle of it. Had my own little game going on, actually, because I couldn't get any help from my fellow Americans, except from lieutenants and captains. They would sneak me reports that I would talk about in the meetings at Camp Bonsteel. They couldn't figure out how I knew certain things, and I doggone sure wasn't going to tell them. But I'd bring things up that were classified because I didn't give a hoot. And I still don't, and I never will. Don't bother me in the least. Maybe that's why my 7-year contract only lasted 5. That's possible. Anyway. So I know about the Serbs. I know about the Albanians because I organized a security force of about 100 of them for 5 regions divided up. A mixed Albanians and mixed with Serbs. I knew them intimately, almost like a family. And they had no security training. I had to train them from scratch. Here's the point. That shooter, Pennsylvania shooter, they found, they've got pictures of him. F-R-E-I-N. That's German. F-R-E-I-N. A survivalist, no less, militia. So, you see where they're heading with this. He's a survivalist, of course. Considered armed and dangerous. Survivalist. Well, here's the rub on that. I saw a picture yesterday of him. I fell out of my seat. You know why? Because the picture shows him with the AK-47. That's unremarkable. But what's remarkable is he's wearing a military Serbian cap. 2 of them, 2 different types, and a Serbian arm patch. I find that very interesting. Because I've got one at home that they gave me on my way when I left as a going away present. And the Albanians gave me one of their little white skull cap looking things. I can't pronounce it. They don't remember what it was. I forgot the name of it. Anyway, I've got both of them as a going away present. And I got the military serve exactly like this shooter was wearing. It's a military, Serbian military cutter on the head. I know it exactly, intimately. I've got one. So that's starting to lay the groundwork for a survivalist. But also, it's a European attire. Now, they said he was in some kind of operation where they were pretending to be Eastern Europeans. I find it hard to believe. I find it very interesting that they would have a Serbian AK-47, a Serbian military hat or cutter. And then I remembered something else. That back in around 2010, thereabouts, there was a takeover of a sheriff's department by contractors in Hardin, Montana. And it's called the American Police Force in September the 30th time frame, 2009. A shadowy private security company had no known clients, but claims to have helped foreign governments combat terrorism and will protect anything from cruise ships to Pakistan convoys, taking over a jail in a small Montana town with plans to build a law enforcement training facility on the property. Now, the state legislators was looking into the matter, and residents of Hardin, Montana was alarmed that executives from the firm, American Police Force, showed up in the town, which does not have its own police department. And the Mercedes SUVs had City of Hardin Police Department decals. And the website stated that APF, American Police Force, plans to impose experimental H1N1 vaccines on residents under the threat of quarantine in the jail. So there's a lease signed with Hardin APF, based in Santa Ana, California. It was incorporated 6 months before September 2009. They were going to control a 400-bed detention facility that the town built a few years before in 2007 or 8, but never used it. A town official confirmed to this name here that the town reportedly stands to make over $2 million per year on this. Woo-hoo, that's good. But didn't last long. They pulled out of there. Well, the leader of it was a Serbian. 15-time felon, loser. Huh. What happened there? Foreign trade zones throughout the United States today, 290 of them. So when Clinton couldn't turn over Long Beach Naval Base to the Chinese, but had to lease it, but couldn't let him buy it, keep it. When Hard Montana couldn't keep their little facility there with the Serbs, the Chinese bought it, called foreign trade zones as collateral, bought our debt, had to give them some collateral, and now they've got their locations in every state in the Union. Isn't that sneaky? Look up Clinton and Chinagate. Sneaking up on you. Europeans are here. Idaho's got Singapore flight pilots and an air force of Singapore flyers in Idaho. Sneaking up on you. Little by little, bringing them in, getting used to it, so they can bring martial law. So you'll say, oh, yeah, we want martial law. Well, gosh, it just so happens they're already here, so we'll just have to bring them out of their bases, and United Nations will show up out of nowhere. So will the Chinese and Russians. Hard Montana town officials, horns woggled by American police force, October 2009. It's all right there. Well, back to the shooter. It's a Serbian military cutter he's wearing. Now, I'd like, love to hear his accent if I ever would hear it on TV. I'd love to hear his accent and see if he is Serbian. Because I believe, I've been telling folks all along, sending out newsletters and commentary that they're going to target our law enforcement. The good ones, the Masons, will also target the good law enforcement that they're friends because they're not Freemasons. Something else comes to mind, y'all. A little something I warned y'all about. Remember Sandy Hook? That false flag of where they shot each kid 10 times in the chest. That never happened. That's another story. From that, it justified putting police in the schools and putting security there to protect the kids. I've been telling people all along, it's not what it's for. It's a false flag to justify putting police in the schools so you won't question it. And the police in the schools, some of them don't even know it anyway, until they're replaced by the paramilitaries, is to protect the school from the parents that want to pull their kids out when they start the vaccinations and indoctrinations. And your kid texts you and says, Mama, this is not right. They're doing what you told us not to. And you're going to leave work and you're going to pick up your kid at 1 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Well, don't you think some other kids, parents are going to get texts? And they're going to show up at the same time? At 10 o'clock or something, or 11, or whatever it is. That's what the security is there for, to keep you from taking the kids off that private property. And when they enact international rights of the child, they'll put you in jail so fast, they'll have a paddy wagon already ready for you. That's a fact. That's the purpose of it. And so they can exchange them for the felons they've trained, 185,000, that's going to fit every doggone school. And they will block off the school and keep the parents from taking the kids out. And the parents will be aggressive. And parents are armed. Hello. And parents in America will use them. That you can depend on. When you mess with the kids in America, you got yourself a serious, serious problem. Well, they know that already because some of them are Americans anyway. But they've got Europeans that's going to take the place of that. Isn't that smart? Thanks to Clinton and all the rest of them in the 1990s and the multi-jurisdictional task force. And it goes back to Nixon. Nixon divided the United States into 10 regions. His planned military coup of 1972 to 1974. Executive Order 11647, 11731, and 11495 gave him complete control of the government, balkanized the United States into 10 regions, 5 states each, 1 governor per region, and 1 UN administrator per region, 10 governors, 10 UN administrators. But his plan failed. However, the plans were carried on, rescinded by Jimmy Bob Carter to hide it. They put it in Reagan and all the rest of them in the FEMA transition, 2009. But it was put into FEMA in the 1980s when Reagan had planned a military coup also. You see, that liar. They were planning it, Operation Northwoods. They've never stopped planning it, but God is ahead of them every time. It's got to be frustrating, you know. For them, it's going to be even worse frustrating when they accomplish it, because it gets them closer and closer to their demise. The closer they get to it, to their dictatorship, the closer they're going to be taken out. So in the 1980s, they hid Nixon's executive orders and re-established them in FEMA transition 2009. But before that, of course, was 1980s. FEMA, Giafrida. And what they do is they set up a crisis. And from the crisis, they then declare national disaster. Whatever it is, whether it's a pandemic, bombings in the United States, something. Whatever they gin up. And then it justifies them declaring martial law and suspending the American Constitution. You don't believe me? I hope you don't.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
See, Oliver North is a nice of Malta. Family, pray for these people. Pray for them. But know where it's coming from. I'm dead serious about this. It's going to get serious. Right now, everybody's just, you know, listening to conspiracy theory. analyzing this, doing calculations for that and all this and all that and so forth. Now, what are they going to do? How are they going to do it? They got to have war. You know that Bush signed John Warner National Defense Authorization Act around 2006, 5, 6, or 7 thereabouts. John Warner National Defense Authorization Act, Bush, he could invoke the Pussy Comitatus Act, enact the military to work with the military, with the police, in time of a national disaster. They all work together. Not just Obama. It goes all the way back. Every single one of them. Now, I may get to more of the infiltration of churches, but I need to go into the wars, as I said I would. And I'll be talking about that again tomorrow as well. Because you're all being lied to by these wars, by theologians, by authors, selling books and DVDs and all this other sort of thing. And they're not telling you the truth about these wars coming up. Is there a World War III in the Bible? They are going by the Bible. This is their book. It's going by the book. It's not just vacation Bible school when you're taking the Bible. It's telling what's going to happen with a 100% chance of it happening. Not 99, but 100% chance. No other book, no other history book, no other prediction, no other briefing document that CFR receives from a Joint Chief of Staff is going to be more truer than the King James Bible. Did y'all get all that? There's no doubt that World War will be a part of our future. You know, Jesus Christ taught this, that there would be a war prior to his return. You'll find that in Matthew 24, 4 to 31. It's right there. They have to go by the book. They have no choice. They just hope to fool you enough to where you'll see their plans as they have to tell you what they are. In fictional form, so you won't believe it. Matthew 24, in Matthew 24, it tells you right out part of it here. Oh, Jesus answered, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's a good start. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Family, the one coming for that is Sanand Emmanuel, the one they call Yeshua. He's coming before Jesus does. He is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's where you get the sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement. It's the name Yeshua. It's a lie. If you're reading all Hebrew in the King James Bible in Hebrew, it would say Yeshua. In English, it says Jesus. In Chinese, it says Yasu. Pakistani, it says something else. But the King James Bible is a true word of God in that language, in English, is Jesus. But they want everybody to say Yeshua. Why? Because the one to come in next is the one, Sanand Emmanuel, called himself Yeshua, is a fallen angel, a member of the hierarchy. That looks just like the Jesus you think Jesus looks like, is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's Sanand Emmanuel. The very one that the Merovingian bloodline believe they're family members of, descendants of. They're so fooled, it's not even funny. That is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's a fallen angel. The false prophet, the real one. So they got to fake it. And that's the one coming soon. But they need a crisis first. And this crisis coming up now, what they're generating with ISIS and all that, is not the real World War III. It's a fake one. It's not Gog and Magog. It's not Armageddon, by no stretch. but they need that crisis. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. Remember that. But they want you to be troubled. All this fear going on. Fear mongering, like in the 1950s. Okay, kids, jump under the desk. We're going to have an atomic war to exercise. Oh, gosh. Everybody was in fear for, what, 7 or 8 years or something? I don't know. A fake Cold War? That's what it was. Why, in 1952 to 53, CDC confirms in the old polio vaccines, y'all remember, baby boomers? They put the cancer cells in 90 million Americans' vaccines of the polio. That's where the cancer came from, for those baby boomers later. Look it up. They admit it now. I got all kinds of stuff. Family, these people are evil beyond your imagination. But they still lose. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. See, they're trying to get you all to believe this is the tribulation and Jacob's trouble now. It's not. There's not a theologian can prove otherwise. There's no four blood moons. It's a lie. There have been blood moons for the past hundreds of years. But in the real tribulation, during the 7 year period, there's only one. Someone tell Hagee and Marx Blitz this, because apparently they don't know. I don't see how they look themselves in the mirror and sell those contemptible books about the four blood moons. It's a lie from the pit of hell they come from. You heard me right. Because there's no four blood moons in the Bible. The Bible out-trumps what Hagee or any of them say. The Bible out-trumps them. The King James Bible, by the way. But they use the King James Bible. Yep, they sure do. And they twist it like a pretzel. They shall come, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. We're getting close. That's all I can say. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, family, do not be fooled by their trickery and their false prophecies and their supernatural whiz-bang smoke mirroring technology fooling you that these are the end times in the beginning. These wars are not World War III yet. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now, what I'm not seeing there is four blood moons. What I'm not seeing there is some feast of something or whatever. What I'm not seeing there is some, I don't know, some festival, some feast, some star, some sign, some whatever. It's not there. When the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Which brings to mind somebody that knows what they're talking about. That's what brings the end, is being preached through all the world. Now, where have I heard that before? Listen very carefully. And you'll hear it too. And this one is an antichrist. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way saved. But Oprah Winfrey, she believes otherwise.
The panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God. But I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, But there is also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yes. Now Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do
being
you please
and,
God?
And many ways, you know, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there
could
couldn't
be a person,
possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
God even raised him up in the whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way.
There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through
be.
Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be
with
because a million
you
of people
say
in the
there
world.
Isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think, that if you are somewhere on the planet... If you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People
heart,
are talked about
truly.
That.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know... Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion.
Neither there is salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven or earth given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's real simple. You're going to use the Bible or not? If you don't use the Bible, why even? You might as well just bend over and kiss bye-bye. You want to follow people that make up their own scriptures and go on ahead. But in the scriptures it says... Isaiah 1 and verse 5. Look it up. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Look it up. And Romans 7 verse 18. Look that one up. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That is the key to the end times, not some other man-made sign or signal or feast or whatever. Or they can't give a date and a time because no one knows the day is the hour. But what governs it? By the word being preached through all the world. So that you'll never know when that is. So that means you better be ready now. That's the whole main point. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And what that means is the Antichrist will be standing in Jerusalem saying, I'm God. Now, this one named John the Baptist, John Click, Jonathan Click, whatever, they're all Illuminati. They say the abomination is something else entirely. It's not even worth talking about. The abomination, desolation, is when the Antichrist, after the Third World War, the second seal, the first 3.5 years, marches himself into Jerusalem and says, I'm God. Because Lucifer will have taken his body. And that would be Lucifer speaking. 3.5 years into the tribulation, once it begins. And that's when God will sound the first trumpet after the second seal and will begin his judgment on this earth. Every square inch of this earth will receive judgment. Now, World War III will have already been conducted. That's the second seal. That's the red horse. They'll have you to believe that the red horse, red, oh, that's communism. No, not at all. Because they want to make you think that the white horse was the Pope. Red horse is communism. The black horse is economic breakdown. And the green horse is Islam. That's what they want to have you believe. That's a lie from the absolute pit of hell. The Calvinists are trying to get people to believe that the tribulations are already done. Well, I guess I slept through them. I guess we all, whew, wipe my forehead, go pop me some popcorn, that we escaped the tribulations. Thank you, Lord. I was a bad boy, and our country's been a bad country because we had slaves from the 16th, 17th century and never repented for it. That's a problem. Don't forget that, because God hasn't. The Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Freemasons, our entire country is infested with secret societies. And you heard the quote, the oath that I read you. They control the government, so there's a problem. Mm-hmm. God's going to bless that? Mm-mm. Y'all better take a second look at this. Don't be fooled by these so-called preachers out there, Hagin, Mark Blitz, and Copeland, Joyce Myers, Osteen, all these people. Mm-mm. No, sir. No way. And in Matthew 24, 4 to 31, it tells you what's going to happen. But the main point here, it tells you of when it's going to be the end, is when he's preached the gospel in the world. And we'll never know when that is, and that's when it's going to happen. There's no other indicator. No moon is this, that, and the other. No Nebiru, no, none of that stuff. No feast of this, that, and the other. The Feast of the Tabernacles, that's a thousand-year millennium reign. Yeah, that's yet to come. And the completion of the Davidic covenant is yet to happen when Jesus takes the throne after Armageddon. So is there a World War III coming? Well, Albert Pike has set one up. He set up World War I, World War II, when it just like planned. World War III is coming up eventually between Islam and Zionism. But the fake World War III is to set you up the first seal. To bring on Sanan Emanuel, the false prophet. See what they've done? Oh, they're sneaky. People believe, he speaks generally the church age in verses 4 to 14, Matthew 24. He speaks the tribulation period starting at midpoint in verses 15 to 31, which I didn't complete reading, but you can. There's others believe that Jesus Christ spoke of only the 7-year period known as the tribulation in verses 4 to 31. It is inclusive. But through verses 4 to 14, they seem to be giving a general description that parallels description that's given in Revelation 6. That records details concerning the beginning of the tribulation. John was a smart man, wasn't he? Or he was inspired. Yeah. Protected while in prison, actually. Matthew 24, 6 and verse 7. If you read that, it talks about, as I said, wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In various places, there will be famines and earthquakes. And here, Christ makes very clear that war will play a significant role in the last 7 years prior to his coming back. Now, we know that Armageddon, at the end of the 7 years, is between Jesus himself and 200 million transhumanized supernatural army of Satan. You're not going to have humans. You've got Nephilim. You've got transhumanized supernatural army that's going to be here after the 7 years. No human's going to survive this or be effective. It's not going to happen. So the ones that survive are giants, are transhumanized, and this is why in the seventh bowl of the seventh trumpet, the 100-pound hailstones of one talent. It's going to take that raining upon the earth to destroy the Nephilim army. They're not telling you about that. War is found in the chapter of Revelation 6. Continues on to be a part of the unfolding events until Christ returns in chapter 19. I give you scriptures if you're ready to copy down. Beginning now. Revelation 6, verse 2. 4. Revelation 11, 7. You got Revelation 6, 2 and to 4. Revelation 11, verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. Revelation 13, verse 4. Revelation 7. Revelation 16, verse 14. Same 17, verse 14. 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 19. Now, in Revelation 19:11 specifically, it says, And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he sat upon him, was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And Revelation 19:19 says, for those who don't have a Bible, And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, as the 10 kingdoms, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's Christ that they're going against. Sat upon the horse and against his army. Take special notice that it says the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against Christ. That clearly describes a world war. Again, also note that the victor in this war is clearly Jesus Christ. That would be Armageddon, the real one. He seizes the beast Antichrist and the false prophet. The beast and Antichrist are the same. The false prophet is Sanan de Manuel, a fallen angel. He cast them into the lake of fire. And the armies that followed them are destroyed. You find in Revelation 19, 20, verse 21. So, there will be at least one more world war. And there's no doubt of the outcome. Because righteousness will prevail as Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator, defeat all those who oppose him. And also, at this time, following the thousand-year reign of Christ, there will be another uprising after the thousand years that Jesus Christ reigns. Have the scope of a world war. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and then released. Upon his release, he'll lead a rebellion among the peoples of the earth that lived in that 1,000 years that followed Armageddon. And that's called Gog and Magog. So, goes something like this. A crisis will be generated of some kind, worldwide crisis of some kind. Then we'll bring on the disclosure, or fallen angels that says, I am bringing peace, we're your creators. The King James Bible, this Bible, no good. Book of Enoch is good. We are your creators. We're going to bring peace. We got rid of the Illuminati. Illuminati has been defeated. The reptilians, the reptiles, the geckos, yeah, have been chased away, or whatever happens, they'll lie, whatever it is, because both sides are liars. We'll have peace and prosperity. No tribulation. Don't worry about sin, no problem. No jails, no prisons. Debts paid off, everybody's happy. That's peace and prosperity, safety and security. You're in the first seal when that happens. Hadn't happened yet. But God won't let it happen until when? The whole word, the gospel, have been preached in all the four corners of the world. That's the trigger right there, nothing else. So there'll be a period of peace and prosperity after this generated crisis to start off with. And that will be the legitimate first seal. And then follows the red horse, the second seal will break. When everybody says peace and prosperity, they'll forget God. There'll be a falling away, and the man of sin will be revealed. Everybody wipes their brow. Whew, we'll have to go through that tribulation thing. But in the meantime, the elite will still have their underground bases because they know it's coming. Why? Because they go by the book. They have to. That's correct. So in that first 3.5 years, the red horse will break out. And that will be war against mankind. That's a sort of Gog and Magog, not fully. I'll talk about that later in more detail, but a second seal will break loose, and that will be a world war of some sort. Some say it is part of Psalms 83. It begins Israel. And it will be the Antichrist making his bad move. Bad move in all kinds of ways, but bad meaning it will be war from then on. And that's the second seal. The red horse is war. General war on mankind. That war will bring on famine, pestilence, and what they call the souls under the altar, those that remain loyal to God will have their heads chopped off or killed or whatever. That's coming. I hate to be so gross in all this, but it's really the way it is. It's going to happen. And then that brings on the sixth seal in that first 3.5 years. And that's when God says, enough. And from then on is the abomination of desolation. The first blood moon, the sun turns as black as sackcloth, a great earthquake to take down everything that's man-made. And then it's God's turn. God will then bring wrath upon this earth. For 7 trumpets and 7 bowls. But right now, we're not even in the first seal yet. And they're, these ones, Hagin, and all these guys are fooling the whole country. The harbinger, just nonsense. Jonathan Kahn, whatever, it's all nonsense. Kahn job. Just to get you all distracted, get you all away from the truth, and in fear. It's not about man stopping it. It's about man becoming closer to Jesus Christ. Because you're not going to stop the prophecies. It's not going to happen. It's to witness to each other, to care about each other, and to tell the truth about what's happening. That's what it's all about. So the red horse is war, the real war. A massive takedown of mankind, as God will allow. And you'll find that Revelation 6, 3 and 4. That's what I was talking about a little while ago. So, the second living creature summoned the second rider to come forth. This one carried a great sword and a rode on a horse with a fiery red. A sword is used in hand-to-hand combat, by the way. So the second seal contemplates invading armies in fierce person-to-person warfare. And the second rider will take peace from the earth. And as a result, the black horse. Now here's the point there. Is they're trying to tell people that the black horse is economic crash. See what they've done? It's baloney. The second horse, the black horse, the third rider, is famine, not economic crash. And they're trying to say the green horse, the pale horse, is Islam. No, it is pestilence, disease. Ebola, come to mind? Yeah. And God will allow it. You see? So, that war Gog and Magog, yeah, we do have the time. Great. I can talk about. Gog and Magog can be a little perplexing. I'll admit that. It's a little confusing to explain. Sometimes you got to stay focused when you're explaining this thing. You really do. But Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 37 and 38, is what we're talking about here. Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. Yeah, that little ding thing right there gets me every time. Hold on a second. Gog and Magog. Let me pull her up here. Don't always work the way you want it to. Sometimes. Part of Gog and Magog is in the second seal. The main Gog and Magog is at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign. And so we're looking at primarily the Ezekiel 37 and 38 when you describe Gog and Magog. I gotta go. Here we go. Bear with me just a second, please. Let's make sure I got this right. So, alright, here we go. Gog and Magog. You see, at the very beginning, well, and talking about this historically, Magog was a grandson of Noah. You'll find that in Genesis 10, too. And so, descendants of this one called Magog, he settled in the far north of Israel. So, there are names of people, not just names of places. Is likely in Europe, northern Asia, Ezekiel 38, 2. Son of man, set your face toward Gog, of the land of Magog, the chief priest of Mishech and Tubal, and prophecy against him. Magog seems to be used kind of referring to the northern barbarians. In general, though, it's likely connected to Magog the person. So the people of Magog are described as skilled warriors in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So, Gog and Magog is referred to in Ezekiel 38 verses and 39. Both those books or chapters. And also in Revelation 20 verse 7 and 8. And there is where the thousand years have ended. So you got two references, Ezekiel 38, 39, and in Revelation 20 verse 7 and 8. And they're two different locations, two different references. But they carry the same names. So when you get into scriptures about this, it demonstrates that they don't refer to the same people and events. So in Ezekiel's prophecy, Gog will be the leader of a great army that will attack the land of Israel in the prophecy of Ezekiel. So Gog is described as the land of Magog. the prince of Rosh, Misash, and Tubal. So they're trying to get people to believe now that Russia is going to help the Muslims to go against Israel. Look for Turkey. Watch Turkey. Watch Turkey. And they're trying to make this be World War III that's occurring now, using ISIS as the initiator as we speak. So Ezekiel 38:2-3, Son of man, set your face toward Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against you, O Gog, chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. So Ezekiel's battle of Gog and Magog happens in the tribulation period. And specifically, in the first 3.5 years. That would put it in the second seal. Not the first. It's not described in the third to the sixth or seventh seal. So it's got to be the second one. And the other reference to Gog and Magog is into the 1,000 years. See? So the strongest evidence for this type of view is that the attack would come when Israel is at peace. Would that not be in the first seal? So a description from Ezekiel is that of a nation that has security and has laid down its defenses. And Israel is definitely not at peace right now. They never have been. And so it's inconceivable that the nations would lay down its defenses for anybody from some major event that's yet to happen. But know that Netanyahu, Putin, Obama, and all the rest of them, listen, are working together. Netanyahu don't care about the Jews in Israel. Putin don't care about the Russians and none of the presidents that we've ever had ever cared about Americans. FDR, going back to FDR, never did. Because they only care about the Knights. Oh, by the way, FDR was the Knights of Malta. Yeah, so was Churchill. That's a hen in the hen, fox in the hen house. Y'all getting how this really works? Now, I've given you evidence. They all work together for this Luciferian agenda. Each one to fool their own countrymen and citizens. They don't care about their citizens. None of them do. Because they care about the secret societies and Lucifer. This is a massive thing I'm saying. I don't know if you're all catching this, but this turns everything upside down. And with evidence. So this description from Ezekiel is that a nation has its security, laid down defenses. Count out Israel on that one. So in Israel's covenant with the beast, the Antichrist, somebody better tell Hagee this, that when it's in effect at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, that's not going to make God happy. He's going to let them go. Because you have fake Jews there today anyway. They got the Star of Moloch as their symbol, not the menorah. 144,000 at the mid-tribulation will come out to evangelize those Jews still left to Jesus Christ. And two witnesses will come out at the abomination of desolation too. So at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week is also known as the seven-year tribulation in Daniel 9:27. Israel will be at peace. Maybe the battle will occur just before the midpoint of the seven-year period. That's what it looks like. So according to Ezekiel, Gog will be defeated by God himself on the mountains of Israel. The slaughter will be so great, it will take 7 months to bury all the dead. Now that's a different period. Ezekiel 39:11-12. So Gog and Magog are mentioned again in Revelation 20:7-8. So when these go against Israel at the very beginning, the slaughter will be great. Not great in a good way, but it'll be massive, leading into the first trumpet. This mentions again in Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8, and this duplicated use of the names Gog and Magog in Revelation 20, verse 8 and 9, is to show that these people demonstrate the same rebellion against God and antagonism toward God as those in Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's two of them. And it's very similar to someone today calling a person the devil because he or she is sinful and evil, but we know that person is not really Satan. But because that person shares similar characteristics, they might be referred to as a devil or as your father, the devil. Cain, father of the devil, father of Satan. Doesn't mean he's a biological father. It means that Cain was evil. It's like a serpent seed lie. Arnold Murray, your Christian identity, the serpent seed doctrine, that Cain is the offspring of Satan and Eve. It's nonsense, total, utter nonsense. I spoke about that yesterday, I think. Cain is of the evil one. Yeah, because he was evil, not genetically. They try to make it look like it's genetic. Besides, all of Cain's offspring died in the flood anyway. Nobody survived. Now, if they want to make it up, they can go ahead and do that. But the scripture don't use the Bible for it. You can make up whatever you want to, but it doesn't mean it's true. The Bible trumps anybody, anything, anywhere. So, when we bring it up to date, what are they hinting around here at? Ebola, that was created in the laboratory, like HIV was, and the Gulf War Syndrome. Those are all same viruses with different forms, created at Fort Detrick, Maryland, 1970s. You got Russia and China setting up to be the big boys in this fake World War III coming up. As people talk about causing fear and everybody to think this is end times events. Family, it'll be worldwide famine, worldwide pestilence. It will not be localized like your Bagleys and all these other talk about. Family, it'll be right in your front doorstep when this real one happens. It's saying something's going to happen in the United States. It's going to eventually. But see, they're setting it up now with all this fear. They've got to give you, you know, back in 2009, they tried to declare martial law. Look it up right now if you want to or after the broadcast. 1,000 Americans die from the flu in 2009. Really? When did that happen? Well, it didn't. But they reported it that it did. And they were planning on giving out required mandatory vaccines. And of course, there goes your kids getting vaccinated. You see, this was set up in 2009. And the second shot was going to give them the flu, and that was to start the pandemic. Well, it didn't happen the way they had planned it. So they had to get rid of all the stocks of those vaccines. Something went awry on them in 2009. Look it up right now. 1,000 die from H1N1. And that was a lie. It never happened. So they're going to do it again. Here we go. 5 years later. Or maybe 6 years later. Who knows when they're going to come up again. They'll have a pandemic of Ebola now. It's Ebola. And they've been playing around with that, causing fear. All they got to do is have one or two have Ebola somewhere in the United States. And then they'll declare it, pigs have got it too, who knows? I don't know. And then they'll start giving it to your children in the schools. And they'll start giving it to healthcare workers. Because they want you to die first. And those that don't want to do it, no problem. You're going against it. You have to get in this truck now, or get in this bus. They want you conspiracy theorists to know about how bad the vaccines are, so you reject it. No problem. And the other is, yes, I'll take the vaccine, give it to me. I'm going to die anyway. So they got this all worked out. Well, family, they lose no matter what they do. You start looking to faith through Jesus Christ. Because either way, people are going to die eventually. Whether you lived an old age, or you have a car accident, or fell while you're trying to fish or something, whatever. Somewhere along the way, you're going to die. I don't want to, throw something negative here, but the negative part, you go to hell. Positive part is you go to heaven. It's up to you. And then your family, when are you going to bring them to repentance? To witness about God. That means you got to live it. And the education, the politics, and the entertainment, everything they've got is trying to keep you from it. Especially the churches. Most of them, lukewarm, watered down mega churches, are taking you away from being repentant. Giving you an ethereal feeling of, oh, I had such a good feeling today. That's not what it's about. It's about conviction and repentance of your sins you committed to Jesus Christ and nobody else. He's the only one who can lift the weight. But they keep you in fear by the reports, talk shows, fear all the time. Well, family, they lose because Jesus Christ wins. But in the meantime, it's going to be Russia, China, ISIS, World War III, Ebola, a coming meteorite, or what else is it? I don't know. Crash, stock crash, but whatever, something to keep you in fear. Don't let them do it to you. Because greater is he in you that's in the rest of the world. That's the bottom line. I try to show you in my broadcast some of the same stuff everybody else shows you. But here I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has won already. If you're with him, what are there to fear? Even death is not something to fear. If you're always afraid of death, then you're afraid to live. Doesn't mean you walk down the center of a road and say, go ahead and hit me, I'm not afraid to die. No. That's not what I'm saying. It's about seeing signs in your children that's being pulled away because of this Wicca influence or by drugs, by these TV programs they're being subjected to, by the fear they're hearing from other folks and all this, to bring them back under your control, under your fold, to give them reassurance of the love of Jesus. And those that's not following your children, that's not, pray for them. Anoint the house. I know it sounds crazy for some of you, but you have demons in those houses. Being demonized is not being possessed. It's two different things entirely. You can't be possessed and be a born-again Christian, but you can be demonized. The Lord's Prayer confirms that. Deliver us from temptation. But you cannot be possessed and be a born-again Christian. But you can be demonized and led astray. Pray for that protection. We go back to what I said 2 hours ago. You pray for that protection, the armor of God around your whole families. And know the scripture. So know that the clergy today are going to be false. More deception, that's going to be the truth. The truth is going to be little by little by little going away. So you got to know that only Jesus is one that we follow. Only Jesus. No pastor, preacher, rabbi, or whatever. Or pope, or whoever. It don't matter. They all wear underwear and they all have skid marks. I don't care. It's Jesus Christ that you stick to. Only him. You want to follow man? Go ahead. But then you go back to Isaiah 1:5, Jeremiah 17:9, Romans 7:18, and then you reassess your followership there. Because Jesus Christ is the only sinless one. And he's coming back, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. Nothing. Matter of fact, they'll facilitate it. Of their own destruction. Because of choices they made. The more they try to hide it, and take control, the quicker comes their demise. So it's a kind of a catch-22 for them, not you. Because the truth will set you free. It's going to be rough. There's no question about that. But he who lasts to the end will be the one that'll be in heaven. And that's a choice that you can make right now for your family. Renounce the blood oath if you're a Freemason. Don't wait around and don't believe anything they tell you at the highest level, because I just showed you they lie to you. They want to use you. And they're within their own selves, the Masons versus Knights of Malta, there's a little problem there. They got a little bit of a problem themselves. Psalms 34:21. Man, you better take heed of that there, Freemasons. You better take heed of what that says. Because you use the Bible, right? You say, oh, we use the Bible. Yeah, well, I highly suggest before I shut off here, and it's getting close, but I feel I need to mention this. Psalms 34:21, it's clear as a bell. You know, Psalms 34:21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Gotta go. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. And we'll talk about the Millennial Kingdom some more and whatever else comes to mind. And let you all remind you all that we're all played randomly over the channel or the network of highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Check him out. Listen to his broadcast. If you live up in those areas, he has sponsors. Use them as whatever you're going to do with it. With the sponsors, you can use them and support his station. Also, my website, watchmenforjesus.com. Visit it. I use it mainly for my broadcast, primarily. I got some studies on it you might be interested in. They're just there. And my Facebook, visit it. Watchmen for Jesus is the Facebook page. Tonight, 8 to 9 Bible study, and I got to go. Thank you all for your attention. And man, I told you, don't believe anything I say. I don't want you to. But challenge it. Whether you tell me or not, you know, whatever. But at least you learn. Or if I'm wrong, man, somebody tell me. Let me know. But the idea is for you to know. And you to know. You to have your own references. You to have your own knowledge. You're the one that says it. Not because I say it or anybody else says it. It's you. You're the focal point. And Jesus is looking at you. He's looking at your heart. It's between you and him and nobody else. That's it. No religion, no country, no flag, no patriotism, none of that. No, blah. All that out of the way. Jesus, number one. Because it's going to come down to that in the end, which is actually the beginning. There's no end. It just matters where you're going to spend eternity. Y'all have a good night, and God bless y'all. This is your Watchman, signing out.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.